Lord, how grateful we are for your word. How grateful we are that we have a Bible that we can hold in our hands, that we can open up on Sunday mornings at church. And Lord, I pray that it's more than just once a week. I pray that we would truly search the scriptures to know your heart and to know your will for our lives. Lord, this word is not just a history book. This word is alive, it's living, it speaks to us. It encourages us, it strengthens us in our times of need. And as we read the stories and as we read these experiences, especially as we're in the gospel, to learn about the life of Jesus and the power that is available to us through him, God, it reminds us that greater days are ahead, that when we get to heaven, we're going to rejoice together with you. So I pray that as we come together this morning and open up the word and consider what it says, I pray, Lord, that it would speak to our hearts. It would speak into our very lives. Maybe some of us in this room this morning that are struggling, that are seeking an answer from you, Lord, that you would speak that to our hearts. Let us know that you care about us. Let us know that you're concerned about us. And let us know that you have great plans for us. So as we study, we pray that you would bless us. We pray against distractions. We pray that our focus would be upon you and upon you alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 6. Last week, if you were here, we talked about when a little is enough. We talked about the feeding of the 5,000. We talked about the importance of the disciples witnessing Christ, teaching his word, teaching multitudes. We know there were 5,000 men that were served, probably anywhere in the 15,000 to 20,000 people that were served from what? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we talked about how a little is enough, and we just give God a little bit and he can create a mass miracle, really. And it was a reminder for all of us to believe that God can do a miracle. Now, the disciples experienced this great time of ministry. They certainly said to Jesus, you know, send the people away so that they can eat because we don't have anything. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. And it was a reminder to us that God will use us to help other people. God will do that. And he did a miracle. And it was an amazing time of ministry, and the disciples you would think would be on a high. But they go from this time of feeding the 5,000, witnessing this miracle, to now this story at the end of this gospel, or excuse me, at the end of this chapter, where Jesus sends them away in the boat. And as you'll see, the storm comes up. And isn't that the way it is sometimes in life? That we have this great time of ministry, we have this great time with the Lord, or great experience with God, only to find that it follows up with a difficulty, or maybe even a tragedy, or some type of setback. That's just the way life is. It's like you have these good times, and you have these bad times. And that's what we're going to witness here this morning, is the disciples kind of experience a setback as Jesus sends them across the Sea of Galilee once again in the boat. The thing about these setbacks, the things about these difficulties that we experience in life, maybe you do this, I know I do it, we blame Satan, right? Well, Satan must be trying to get us. Satan must be trying to hurt us, might be trying to harm us. But guys, sometimes it's not always Satan. It's not always Satan that puts us in difficult situations. Sometimes it's God allowing us to go through those situations to strengthen us, to let us know that he's there. Again, the disciples just witnessed an amazing miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and now they find themselves in a storm, and yet they're still fearful. Isn't that how we are? When things get tough, like, Lord, what happened? What did I do wrong? What is it that I'm not doing that you want me to do, that I'm having to go through this? And sometimes God is just looking down and goes, you're faithful. You believe in me, and you're trusting in me, and I want you to exercise that trust in me. In this storm, in this difficulty. And so this week's message I'm entitling, Standing Up Under Pressure. Standing up under the difficulties that come in life. Now part of this title may have come from my week, because this week I was struggling with some back pain, and it was all I could do to stand up. It's like, ugh, the pressure of gravity, I don't like it sometimes. And it's like, there's those times in our lives when we feel the weight and we feel the pressure of life and we just want to take, you know, tap out for a little bit. I need a break. And that was me this week. It's like, I just need to sit down and get some relief. But as I was studying this, it was a constant reminder to me that I need to put my trust in God, that I can't allow the setback to keep me from what God's called me to do. And that's what I want to encourage you in this morning. is that we not look at our situation and our circumstances and stop or quit or slow down, but actually press in farther. It just seems, my wife and I, Lou and I, were just talking about it this week, how we see things happening in people's lives who we love, and even in other pastor and wives' lives, and just the difficulty that people experience in their relationships with each other. And even at Saturday's men's breakfast, we were talking about the importance of relationship, the importance about trusting in Christ and not being so self-centered. And it just seems to me that if we can stop being so self-ish and become more selfless, it'll make our lives, our marriages, our relationships with each other so much better. See, I get myself in trouble, and maybe you get yourself in trouble too, when I start to look at my relationship or my marriage and say, I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I want. Aren't my needs being met? Once we begin to step into that atmosphere and that arena, it's nothing but trouble. It is during those times that we must go, Lord, help me stand up under the pressure of it and help me serve. Help me be other-centered. Let me focus in on my wife or my friends or people that are in need. See, guys, that's what we're seeing in this next section. And we're going to partake of communion today, so it's going to be a shorter type of Bible study, but I want us to remember that Jesus is always there for us. We sang the songs today. He's the God of the impossible. Well, if he's the God of the impossible, then he can take whatever situation, whatever circumstances you're in right now, and he can change them. And he can either change them or he can strengthen you to endure them. And I find most times God's more about strengthening me and to endure through those times than to remove me from them. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Let's go ahead and read the rest of the chapter. We read, immediately, this is after the feeding of the 5,000, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them straining at the rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. So we see here, Mark tells us at the end of this chapter, a very powerful story. Now, Mark only gives us a bit of this story. If you know this story and you know it well, there's one thing that Mark leaves out. Does anybody know what that is? Peter, walking on water. Now, most Bible scholars believe that the writer of the Gospel of Mark was influenced a lot by Peter. And whether Peter was humble enough to not include the story, you know, because, hey, I'm a water walker, man. You know, he could have been very prideful, or he was very embarrassed that he got his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. But this is the same story. It's the same story of Jesus coming, walking on the water, and Peter wanting to come out onto the water, which is an amazing story in itself. But here we see, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus does what? He immediately tells them to get in the boat, go to the other side. He sends all the multitudes away, those that were fed by the loaves and the fish. And what does Jesus do? He goes away to pray. And I think sometimes when we read our Bibles, we read that and we just keep on moving through. If Jesus, being God, spends time in prayer, how important is it for us to pray? And if any of us are going to be honest here this morning, do any of us pray enough? It's sad. It's such a simple thing to do. It's not difficult. I heard a story that, can you imagine if praying was like having a root canal, how hard it would be to pray? Yet we would still do it because we knew the benefits of prayer. But when we pray, it's not like a root canal, is it? It's a communication with God. And if Jesus himself decides it's important to send the disciples away into the boat, that he gets away and spends time in prayer, man, we better make sure that we're being faithful in the prayers that we pray. And this, again, I don't want this to be a burden. It's not like you have to pray to stay saved. It's not like you have to pray to have God love you more. All of those things are yours and complete in Christ. You're saved by the blood of Christ. God loves you, and there's nothing that can change that love. He can't love you anymore, and he can't love you any less. But prayer has been given to you as a gift to be used to encourage you in your walk, to not only let God know what you're feeling, but also to hear what God's going to say back to you. I always want to remind us that prayer is not a one-way conversation. Prayer must be a two-way conversation. And if you're here today and you're going, well, I've never heard God speak to me. Well, you just keep on praying. You just keep on being faithful. You just keep on talking to God and then giving God time to speak back. Don't just pray by going, here's what I want, here's what I want, here's what I want, thank you for this, thank you for that, and then move on. Make sure prayer has that time of pausing. Saying, Lord, are you going to speak to me? I find when I pray and when I really take the time to set aside that time to pray, God will speak to me. Usually it's his word. Usually when I'm praying for something, God's word speaks to me. But I got to know what that word says, don't we? You got to know what the scriptures say in order for the word to speak to you. Well, here Jesus is going away to pray, sending off the disciples, having that private time. Now, if we remember, at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, it's nighttime. So Jesus, it's getting late, and he's spending this time in prayer, and the boys are going off in the boat. It's dark. But what I see in this story, which is so important, if we're going to stand up under pressure, if we're going to realize that our lives are difficult, the first thing we see is in verse 47. And when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing. Standing up under pressure, we must first and foremost realize that God sees exactly where you are. He sees it. Jesus is praying. The boys are doing what? They're rowing. And they're straining against the wind and the waves. And that's all they're doing is rowing. But Jesus sees them in the situation that they're in. Guys, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He knows exactly what you're experiencing. It's good to know that God's eyes are on you. It's good to know that your Heavenly Father is watching every step that you take. Now, here's the exciting thing. The disciples had no idea Jesus saw them. Jesus was watching them. They had no idea. What was their only job? Their only job was to row. And many commentators said they were rowing, and then the wind would blow them back. And then they would row, and then the wind would blow them. They were making zero progress. The Sea of Galilee is not that big. Some of us that have been there, we know. You can see straight across. In some spots, it's only 4 miles across and 8 miles long or so. So it wasn't a far way. But they were stuck. Guys, the only thing the disciples had control of is what they were doing, the rowing. They had no control over the wind. They had no control over the waves. And this is where we have the most difficulty, is when we realize we're not really in control, are we? We are not in control. The disciples' job was to row. Our job is to keep moving forward, to keep trying, to not stop, not give up. It could have been easy for them to go, we're never going to get there. We might as well just stop. Have we ever been in that position? Have you ever been in that position where you go, it's so hard, God. I can't seem to get any progress. Whether it's a project or something that you're trying to accomplish or something that you're trying to instill into your life, and you're thinking, it's so hard. Listen, God only cares that you give it your best effort. There's nothing more you can give anyway. Don't give up. Just continue to be faithful in what God has told you to do. Remember, Jesus said, get in the boat and go row. So that's what they were doing. Don't get frustrated in the pressure that you're in. Stand up under it and say, God, equip me for it. I always like to remind myself, God will never tell me to do something he will not equip me to do. And to be honest with you, God cares more about the journey than he does about the finish line. When it comes to something specifically, obviously he wants us to get to the end of life faithful. But it's no problem. It's all good. I thought I was in trouble. It's like, man, when Sandra comes forward, you're like, what did I do? But it's our job just to be faithful in it. And again, God will not tell you to do something he doesn't equip you to do. Does not equip you to do. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I love this verse. Paul is not concerned about the past. He's not concerned about what has happened in the past. One thing he does, he's reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And the verse goes on, I press towards the goal for the upward prize in Christ Jesus. His focus was forward, and that's what the disciples' focus was too. Keep rowing. Jesus said to row. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Guys, if we can just be faithful in the pressure that we're under. As Christians, we're under a lot of pressure. If you're going to truly be a sold-out believer for Christ and live for what the Bible says, you're going to go completely against what the world believes. There's a lot of things that we believe the Word of God says that the world says that's just hogwash. That's old, that's history, that's not how things are today. Times have changed. No, no, no. God's heart never changes. And so if we're going to stand up under pressure, we just need to be faithful and to consistently push forward. I love Spurgeon. Here's a quote from Spurgeon on this topic. Spurgeon's kind of hard to understand, but I'll explain it to you. It says, our good Lord will take the will, so your will, for the deed. In other words, he'll take your desire or your commitment to do something more than the results of doing it. Does that make sense? He cares, takes the will for the deed and reckon our progress, not by our apparent advance, but by the hearty intent with which we tug at the oars. So God sees the disciples. He sees them rowing. He sees what they're up against. He sees them up against the wind and the waves. And he knows that the wind and the waves are greater than their efforts. But he is not upset with them. He's not mad at them at all. He knows that they're just being faithful at keeping rowing. God cares more that you just keep pressing forward and trust and listening to his voice and doing what he tells you. That's what helps us stand up under the pressure. Because God, I'm doing what you've called me to do, even though it's hard. Anybody ever have God tell you to do something that it was hard? Yeah. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God's will. Hard builds character, does it not? And so here's Jesus standing up. I picture him standing up on one of the hills around the Sea of Galilee, looking down on the boys and seeing them there. And he's got his eyes on them. He's watching them. And it says, as Jesus was praying, it was late in the evening. And then it says he sees the boys down there, what does it say? The fourth watch of the night, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So these boys are toiling for a long time, which is another great lesson for us, that sometimes the season of difficulty can be long. We've all been through it. We've all been through seasons like, Lord, when will this pass? Well, Jesus, the good thing is, Jesus saw them, and the good thing, news is for us, God sees exactly where we are. My question is for all of us. Will we be faithful in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of whatever struggle, whatever it is you're dealing with, whether it's a work thing or a relational thing or whatever it is. Maybe it's a health thing. It's a storm that you're dealing. Are you going to be faithful to do your part, knowing God's watching and God's ready to do his part? Because look what his part is. It says in verse 49, and when they saw him walking, or excuse me, go back up, verse 48, Then he saw them straining at the rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. and would have passed them by, meaning they weren't really moving. He's walking, and he's going to pass them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, which that those three words, it is I, is the same as saying I am. And if we remember, Moses with the burning bush, what's your name, God? Tell them I am who I am. That's what Jesus was saying to them. He's like, I'm walking in the sea, the waves are blowing. I am. I'm God. I'm everything. I'm your source. And so not only does he see them, Jesus comes and he saves them. Look at verse 51. Then he went up into the boat and the wind ceased. When Jesus comes to you, when Jesus arrives on the scene, the seas stop. In fact, I think it's in John's gospel that says the moment he gets in the boat, they're on the other side. The journey, the midst of the struggle, they're there. They get to the destination. What a beautiful picture for us that not only does God see you, God saves you from the storm. God saves you in the difficulty. If you'll watch as you're trying to stand up under pressure, you'll find that God will be there with you, and he will save you from it. He will take you out of it. Again, there's still going to be pain. There's going to still be some difficulties, but those things are what God is going to use to make you a better Christian. And so the fact that he saves us, he is in control of how long you're in the storm. Think about that for a minute. He's in control of how long you're in the storm. He was praying. It was late at night. It's probably 3 to 6 in the morning as the boys are rowing. He could have gone to them at any moment, but he allowed that struggle to take place for a season. So when he walks to them on the water, it's when he decides to stop the winds and the waves. It's under his control. Comes back to that whole thing about us being in control. Don't be in control. That verse, I try to remind myself, and I hope you do the same, where Jesus says, or the Bible says, cast your cares upon him before he cares for you. That's, Lord, I'm casting my cares upon you. I don't want to worry. I don't want to fret. I don't want to be anxious. God, I'm going to give these things to you. He sees and he saves. Isaiah 41:10 says this. Very good. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a very encouraging verse. Found in the Old Testament, in the prophets, a promise to the children of Israel and a promise to us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That he will bring you that strength. He is the one that saves you from the difficulties. Keep your eyes open to see his salvation. It's interesting to me that in verse 52, Mark just says, for they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. It's like, what didn't they understand? They didn't understand the power of Jesus. They didn't understand fully the power of the Savior that they were walking with. Listen, we have a wonderful perspective, do we not? We know the rest of the story. They did not. They were living it. They were experiencing it. And when you're in the midst of a storm, guess what? Our hearts can get hard too. We can get scared and we can be nervous. And I thought, it's just a reminder that these guys didn't fully understand it. It wasn't like they were rowing and going, yeah, Jesus will be here any minute. He's going to save us from this. It's going to be a great story for us to read in the gospel. They didn't know that. They were struggling with it. God sees you. God saves you. But don't miss this, and to me it's the most important. How did they get in the situation in the first place? Jesus told them to go row across the sea, didn't he? So not only does God see you, not only does he save you, God sends you. God sends you into a difficult situation sometimes because he knows that that's best for you, because he knows that that's what you need to rely upon him. How faithful are we to God when everything is going great, right? The bills are paid, our relationship with our spouse is wonderful, our kids are behaving, everything at work is wonderful. How pressed into the Lord are you then? Oh, Lord, I need you, everything's going good. No, that's not the prayer. The prayer is always, Lord, I'm struggling. My wife's killing me. My kids are driving me nuts. I can't believe it. Work is not going well. They're going to, you know, demote me or whatever. And that's when we start, oh, Lord, I need you. Sometimes, listen, I don't believe God is the author of difficulties in your life, but he's the permitter of difficulties in your life. Many, many years ago, I've shared this with you before, in the late 90s, I was diagnosed with a cancer that they were able to remove very easily. And I remember during that time giving God the glory, and I remember standing up in church one day saying, God gave me cancer, but he healed me. And someone very quickly after that service came up to me and said, God didn't give you cancer. And I will never forget that. And that is absolutely true. God doesn't give me cancer. God doesn't give anybody cancer. God doesn't give anybody anything that will harm them. God only gives healing and grace and peace. But God allows cancer to happen in people's lives. Why? So he can show them and teach them something. Listen, we live in a fallen world. We live in you spend 5 minutes with me. As much as I like Big Mac burgers, and I know they're not healthy, you know? What is it with pizza commercials? Man, they look so good. But I look at it, I go, there is not a healthy thing in that entire pie. Anyway, let me get off that soapbox. We live in a fallen world, and things happen to us. But God is always there for us. God is always there for us to help us stand up under the pressure of it, under the difficulties that we experience. I'm praying that you see this picture of this story as an opportunity for you to put your trust and your faith in God, in whatever it is you're going through today, whatever it is you're experiencing right now. I don't care if it's a big thing or if it's even a little thing. All of these principles apply. God sees what you're doing. God sees what you're going through. God's going to come to you and to save you through it and carry you through it. And at the end, you're going to say, God, you did it. You allowed it to happen in my life. Thank you, Lord. The other picture that you need to see in this whole thing is the picture of the current church. Jesus right now is sitting up in heaven doing what? Praying and interceding for us, the church. And we are the church. We are the ones down in the boat. We are the ones down there in the storm. We're trying to row through this thing called life, and it's not easy. And Jesus is watching us. And it's going to be a time yet future that Jesus is going to walk across the sea, if you will, and come to us and save us out of this world and take us to be with the Father. As soon as Jesus gets in the boat, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in heaven. What a beautiful picture of a salvation that is seen in this simple little story of Jesus sending the boys out onto a boat into a storm. Guys, I hope you're encouraged that God is in control and we are not. Our job is to submit to him and to submit under his authority. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 23, way back in Exodus is an amazing passage I want to share. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, just three verses. God does not leave us alone, guys, on this earth. And this is a beautiful thing. Exodus 23 and verse 20 says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, the Holy Spirit, and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. This was a reminder to the children of Israel that God was always going to be with them. And wherever he took them, he would be against their enemies. And he would be alongside their adversaries. And he would provide for them. And he will send an angel before us, before them. And we have the Holy Spirit that goes before us. We have the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that we would listen to his voice and obey what he says. You're not alone. No matter where you are, you always have the Holy Spirit with you. If you believe in Jesus, he's given you the helper. He's given you the comforter. Somebody walked in church today and they were sharing with someone how they had a very difficult week, but they felt that the peace of God was upon them. And I thought, isn't that what we all want? No matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult, as long as we have the peace of God. That's been my prayers lately. Lord, if this is what you've called me to, then just give me the peace to know that I need to persevere. Because we don't want to walk contrary to God. We want to walk in step with God. And so here we see in Exodus, I'm telling you, I'm sending my angel before you to know that we're not alone, to know that we're there, that God is there with us, is very comforting. And that is something we must encourage each other in constantly. The last thing I want to share, the rest of this chapter, the rest of this section, those few verses, four or five verses, they get to the other side, they get to Gennesaret. And notice what happens. The people there see Jesus come out of the boat. And they know, they've heard about Christ. I mean, he's been ministering in this area. We know he's been doing healings and casting out demons. And if we notice, the people see Jesus, and what is it they do? They go and get other people that are sick and that are hurting, and they bring them to Jesus. And the reason I give you these business cards on your chairs is this. From time to time, people visit us here at Calvary Chapel Brentwood. And I can't tell you the number of times I've heard this statement. We never knew you were here. Never knew you were here. And certainly we're tucked over here at the Martin Center off the beaten path. If ever I tell somebody I'm a pastor of a church and I say Calvary Chapel, they're like, in their minds trying to figure out where we are. I'm like, there's no big building that you're going to recognize. So here at Calvary Chapel, I want to equip you to let other people know about this church. Several months ago, I was having lunch with someone in the church, and they said, I think Calvary Chapel is the best-kept secret in Brentwood. And I looked at him, I said, well, let's make sure it's not a secret anymore. He's like, you're right. So I want to equip you. So these cards are a reminder for you. If you're ever in a conversation with someone who's struggling with their walk with God, I'm not here to fill this church up with people. I'm here to lead people to Christ. I'm here to deliver them from difficulties of life. And there are a lot of people, even in the Bible Belt, that don't go to church, that don't have a relationship with God. They might think they know who God is, or maybe they gave their lives to Christ at a youth camp or whatever, but they're struggling right now. And my heart is that, as it says on this, God's Word taught verse by verse. We want them to know the Word of God so that they can experience God for themselves. Take this card. I have more if you want to hand out more. This entire month of September, I would like to be bring a friend, a neighbor, a stranger to Calvary Chapel so that they can experience the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so that it can change their lives. That's what the people in the surrounding areas of Galilee were doing. They saw Jesus, they went and got the friends they were in, they brought them to wherever Jesus was. Guys, my hope and prayer is that Jesus lives in your life. Jesus isn't only here. Jesus should be in you. And wherever you go, my prayer is that people will come to you because you have Jesus. That is the heart of this ministry, encouraging believers to engage their faith. With your help, we can let people know that Calvary Chapel is here, and we simply teach the word simply, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That is our desire. So there are more of these if you want. I would encourage you to take more. If you have friends, coworkers, neighbors, enemies, that will become your brother or sister in Christ. Amen. That's the heart. That's the heart of this church. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to partake of communion together. Father God, I thank you so much for your word today. How blessed we are to be in a place where we can freely open up the scriptures, read what they say, consider what they mean, and then apply them to our lives. And God, it's our heart here that we do this more than just once a week. that we fall in love with your word, that we fall in love with these stories, that we fall in love with the fact that Peter had enough excitement in his heart to even want to do what you do by walking on water. Lord, let our lives be a living testimony to others, to each other even, to encourage each other, to motivate each other to be better. I pray for this church this morning, God. I pray for each person sitting in these chairs. Some of them I know are struggling. Some of them are in a very difficult and dark season in their life, and they need you. And we were just reminded today that you see where they are. You see what they're going through. You understand the season of life that they're in. And I pray that they'd be encouraged, that they see that you, they know you see their tomorrows, that you see the victory from the difficulties that they're going through. If there's someone here that's struggling in their marriage, God, I pray that you would just bless that marriage, that you would pour love into their hearts. If there's someone here, God, that's struggling physically, there's something in their bodies that should not be there, God, I speak healing upon them and over them, that we would believe, like we sang, you're the God of the impossible. And when this world tells us we'll never be healed, and this world tells us we'll always be sick, God, I pray that our faith would say, no, my God can heal me. And I pray for the families in this church, God, that they would be godly families, that mom and dad would raise up godly children, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to read the Bible, teaching them how to be faithful, even in the midst of difficulty. And Lord, as we enter into this time of communion where we remember what you've done upon the cross, it's a time for us to never forget that it's a finished work, that it's over. You've paid the price in full. And that through you and putting our trust in you, we have salvation in totality. The moment we put our faith and trust in you, we are justified before God. And we thank you. So help us, God, to live those lives of faithfulness. And as we partake of communion together, may each of us individually just give you thanks. Be grateful for the salvation that we have through you. To you be the glory, to you be the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.